No.
You gotta get past the leader, huh?
I think we're in business.
Committee to order. The time is 8:35. Location, resources room. The date is 15th. And members present are Liska, Fisher, Phillips, Fuller. Representative Hayes is excused. Members absent are Barnes and Miller. We do have quorum. And the purpose of this committee meeting is to consider a rules committee substitute for House committee substitute for committee substitute Senate Bill 354 Hess. The differences between the proposed rules committee substitute and the House Hess version are primarily technical and include four sections. I think I'll read them and then we'll work from the draft of the Senate, the House Committee Substitute, the Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 354. You should have that in your packet. Have you got all that draft so we're all on the same sheet of music? I think rather than read these four sections, we'll just start with the second page. On page two, yes, Randy.
Before we start, do you want to go through the whole thing first before you take questions, or do you want to take them as they come along?
I think we'll just attack each one separately and then allow testimony and get the thing rolling. And on page two, line 19, the word private before pre-elementary school has been deleted to make clear that the subject regulations apply both to public and private schools. Anyone wants to? I'd let the record show that Mike Miller Juno is present, and I'll open it up to any discussion. Representative Phillips.
Not so much on that. I realize that's a technical amendment. Went through this thing last night fairly well, I think. The one question I had was on immunization, the shots. The Christian Scientists, I believe, don't believe in shots. Now, is that going to cause some problems here?
I'll let Representative Tischer field all these questions because she's the expert on it. I'm just trying to regulate
traffic.
I'm the traffic director. Representative
Tischer. As far as I know, Christian Scientists do not have a pre-elementary school setting. That's the only answer I can give you.
Okay.
I have a question then. There is a sheet that was passed out to you just recently with testimony. We didn't get that till 5 o'clock last night. It's just been passed out to you.
From the National Association of Education of Young People? Is that it?
This is, yes. And there might, you might refer to it if there's something in there. I don't know. I don't see anything in there about Christian Science or anything.
Oh, Randy. Jack, is there somebody here from DOE that can... I guess not. All right. Well, I just want to cover that base because I know they do have some problems, as far as convictions versus medical health.
Is there any other member, anybody present that wants to make any testimony on this? Would you please step up and identify yourself? And
oh, you are.
I'll get back to you.
Are you DOE?
No, I'm not DOE. My name is Mary Asper, and I'm the president of the Alaska Association for the Education of Young Children, which represents both professional people, parents, all kinds of people interested in the education of young children. And we have an affiliate group that represents the Arctic, that's in Nome, Kotzebue, and Barrow. We have an affiliate group that represents the Delta, that operates out of the lower Kuskokwim area. We have an affiliate in Anchorage, we have one in Fairbanks, and we have one in Juneau. We feel that we're a fairly strong voice in that we have about 400 members. And we are not happy with the version of the bill as the House has put it together. We prefer the Senate version of the bill, but even stronger than that, we would like to have an amendment put on the bill, which would read in Section 2, Part 8, the section you've just been looking at, stating that after education...
What line is that, please?
Section 2, Part 8, lines 25 to 29, after line 29, we would like to have an amendment put in that says, and the program operates for 4 or fewer hours per day. The reason for that being that there are many pre-elementary schools at this point in time that are in fact daycare centers, but are freeing themselves up from any licensing at all by calling themselves pre-elementary schools or preschools, and yet are operating 8, 9, 10 hours, which make them, in our mind, affect daycare centers, and they need to have some licensing, we feel. So I have a further testimony here, but that's the basic reason for my being here. If you'd like the further testimony, I can go ahead and give you that at this point.
Why don't you just stay with us? We got lots of seats.
You said that they should, that your last statement said something to the effect that they should have licensing requirements to determine why.
I just think that basic health and safety for young children is real important, and that I think that looking in the best interest of young children, if you have a ratio of one adult to 23-year-olds, you can't possibly meet health and safety regulations.
Could you tie health and safety together a little bit more in what you're saying as far as a ratio is concerned? Tell us what you're concerned about as far as a ratio is concerned, although we're not addressing ratio here. You said health and safety standards, which are covered in the bill by a state sanitarian and the fire marshal.
But
what,
I don't think
what else
they,
are you concerned about?
They're covered in the bill as far as facilities go. In other words, the facilities must check out, but they're not covered as far as how many adult bodies you have per young children in the room. And you can have the safest building in the world, but if you have 40 children and one adult, if there's a fire, that adult is not going to be able to get those children out of the room. And it's the same with sanitation. You can have a very clean, wonderful space, but if it's a closet and you are servicing 35 3 and 4-year-olds 8 hours a day, that's not a good situation, regardless of how sanitary it is.
Which school specifically has a 1 to 40 ratio, and which school has
many.
A closet?
I could get you that information, but I don't have it right here with me, but there are many in the state.
There are many schools that have
there are
one
many
person to 40
yes.
children.
I work in
could you identify any one of them, just one?
I can bring you the
really
list. I think if I identify that one right now, then you would have that one in here being really angry, but I could get you a list real quickly of just the ones
that
our people have said, this school is not a safe place for children, or this school is not a safe place
specifically 1 to 40.
Children.
I'd like to have one school that has that. School, not daycare center.
Well, how is that defined?
Mr. Chairman, the reason I'm asking these questions is because we've heard this kind of testimony before, and I've accepted it kind of blandly. Now I'm asking specifically, which are we talking about? Because that may generate some other legislation I'm interested in.
All right, well, Mary jumped the gun on me a little bit here. We were on line 19, but let the record show that Representative Barnes is here. I would like to get back on track and address the first one, and then I'm having your amendment copied so it can be passed around, and the next section we were going to address was that section.
Further to Representative Tucci's request, she's asked specifically for a list of those that have a ratio of 1 to 40. Actually, if it's 1 to 39, I think that's just about as bad. So specifically, I would request that the list show the ratios that she considers unsafe, because if it turned out there weren't any in the state that had 1 to 40, but there were a whole bunch that had 1 to 39 and 1 to 36, you know, we've outboxed ourselves with our fancy footwork. So I I would just ask for a list of those ratio, those schools that have ratios that you consider unsafe and the reasons thereof.
Okay, I'd like to get back to page two, line 19, and discuss that, and then we'll continue. Representative Barnes, do you have something to say?
Well, I had a question on the subject that was before us. If you would prefer I wait, that's fine.
Well, I'd like to get it back in order and go through, okay? And just stay, stand by, Mary. Okay, getting back to the word, on page two, line 19, the word private before pre-elementary has been deleted to make clear that the subject regulations apply to both public and private schools. I'd like to discuss that. Does anybody have any heartburn with that change?
It's a textual amendment, and it clarifies it, as I understand it. I have no objections to it.
All right. We'll continue on to on page two, line 23 and 24. DOE's general authority over pre-elementary schools has been broadened to include any preschool that receives direct state or federal funding, confirming to the general intent of the bill.
What, would you repeat your page reference and line?
That's page two, line 23 and 24.
Okay.
And this the general intent of the bill to only eliminate regulation of totally private privately funded schools. The House version limited DOE's supervisory authority to only public and preschools. I'd open that up to any discussion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, first of all, I've gotten a few calls back home, and also when I was home over the weekend on this, from constituents, and they're concerned about this. But I am not familiar with the issue that well as of yet, and think maybe you can go ahead and, if it's all right, Mr. Chairman, that Mary explained, because that's the section you're addressing right now.
Well, she's adding on to that section, I believe, Mary, aren't you?
We're
making that amendment.
I don't want to get into the language things. What are you trying to attempt to do here? I mean,
maybe this testimony would be helpful if I just read this testimony, because it's the testimony that our association put together for that purpose. Would that be all right?
Well, are you addressing line 23 and 24 now,
yes.
Mary?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We strongly feel that early childhood regulation is necessary and long overdue. In this country, we have a public expectation of safety for all. We expect to be safe on the streets, and we have public policies to ensure that right. We expect to have quality control over the food we eat, and we have public regulations to ensure food safety. We also expect that the state would protect our young children by developing sound public policy to ensure their safety and education. Hundreds of Alaskan children are now in unregulated situations. Some of these are good, but some are far from providing safe and educationally sound environments for children. We believe that all children have a right to quality care, which is both safe and educationally sound. Without the Senate amendments, or this particular one, particularly for the four-hour time limit, we feel that many children will slip through the cracks, as they will be covered by neither health and social services or DOE regulations. The two changes in the regulations that are under the heaviest attack at present are both concerned with the safety of young children. The first is the teacher-child ratio. The Department of Education wants to change the existing ratio of one teacher for each 23 and 4-year-olds to one teacher for every 10. They do not stipulate that these must be certified teachers, only that they be adults available to interact with children for safety reasons. Anyone spending time with 3 and 4-year-olds can testify to the fact that 20 is far too many to safely supervise, let alone try and teach and call yourself an educational facility. The proposed regulations stipulate the ratio is 1 to 15 for 5 years old, which we could also support. The second change under attack is the square footage requirement, and this is what's brought about a lot of frustration on people's part. It would require 34 square feet per child as opposed to 20 square feet per child. 35 square feet is about the size of a queen-size bed. 20 square feet is about the size of a twin-size bed. Having those space requirements, we feel, is very legitimate for young children, knowing the space that they need to move around. We feel that these regulations are aimed at making life a little better for children in the state, and came about from many complaints, and that little kids can't speak for themselves, and that's why we are here, trying to act as their advocate.
Let me just get...
Representative Phillips?
Okay, the issue is, as I understand, okay, you want these regulations in for preschooler, whether they're public or private, whether they're religious or non-religious, right?
Yes. That would be the ultimate rule.
Okay, and
we
this will be under the, umbrella
yes.
of public health and safety.
Yes.
Of course, that's in, you know, it's just like art, in the eyes of the beholder. But. Okay, so you're saying you want this included in the bill to cover everybody as far as the public health and safety standards are concerned.
Mm-hmm. And I think the 4-hour time limit would clarify.
Yeah, so I was going to follow up on that. Why 4 hours?
Because all the schools that I'm familiar with that are running pre-elementary schools, preschools, which
mm-hmm.
is what we're defining them as, that are working in an educational component have that as their time span. It's very seldom that you find an educational component that works for more than 4 hours with 3- and 4-year-olds. You can't hold them any longer than that. So at that point, there are many daycares that are having educational components, but the educational part is generally in the morning, and the afternoon is the daycare component part, which is fine, but I think that they need, at that point, we need to realize that there's a daycare facility that has a preschool component rather than calling themselves a preschool and then not having any regulations at all.
Okay.
How many of those that you're speaking of are private institutions? That are entirely private?
I don't know. I mean, we could get...
Can you give me some guess?
No.
Are you dealing mostly with public facilities than that you're talking about, rather than
the
private?
Ones that I specifically deal with in my work are public facilities, which I still feel need regulating. However, I think that all facilities need regulating in that the health and safety of all children is public concern, whether it's private, whether it's religious, whether it's public. I think that all children need some kind of general health and safety regulation.
I disagree with
Mr. Chairman. I was going to ask the question: how would this violate the freedom of religion if we said it? Basically, and I'm not asking you, but maybe a members of the committee, freedom of religion. If you set a standard at say, was it 1 to 30? Square feet, or 35?
They're saying 30 square feet per
1 to 30.
Child.
How would that violate freedom of religion? It's based on, health and safety standards.
Right. Mr. Chairman, I'm not here to defend a religious right in terms of square footage. I think the issue here is the education legitimately of pre-elementary school children. That's what the issue is. There are regulations by the Health and Social Services to deal with public institutions that are daycare, that are funded by whatever means. The fact remains identify as their mission for educating the children of the parents who attend their church, and the parents' right to choose where they send their children and how that school is to be conducted, and that there should be no state interference with that mission. If a parent is concerned about square footage, I suspect that a parent would take it upon themselves to go to the school administrators, the preacher, or whomever is in charge, and suggest ways in which their children would be crammed like sardines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of a single situation, I don't know of one single parent sending their children to a private school that has come before me, written to me, called me, or said anything that they have had a circumstance by which they have not they have not received responses of any, or had any criticism of the school that they're sending the children to. Therefore, I challenge all the many kinds of accusations in terms of unregulated, schools, children in small areas and so forth. No one has demonstrated to me where they are, who they are, what the ratio is, what the problem is, and I have no parents coming forward to say, hey, this is terrible.
Well,
all I'm saying is that there is no way that I can demonstrate to you anything except what we've heard from parents, from the private sector, from the church schools that are asking for this bill to pass because they're satisfied with the school they're sending their children to and they need protection.
Well, okay.
Excuse me 1 minute. Mr. Keith Libby is here from Legal Services, and you're welcome to contribute any time that you can help us out here, Keith.
Where are you? Identify yourself here.
I'd be happy to respond to specific questions.
Okay.
Well, you're the attorney, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, you know, originally the bill was introduced, as I understand it, because the state or the state or any other government agency was coming in to tell them how to, you know, run their business, basically their courses or the arena of teaching. However, you know, the state does have responsibility when it comes to public health and safety. And unless there was any constitutional conflict with that, and I haven't heard it yet, I think we should consider this amendment, or this proposed amendment, on that. I know I've had people call me at home concerned about this very thing. I would be interested in the amendment itself, so far, unless... Well,
that would tail at the end of this, of this change, which we started to address and got off the track. Senator.
Thank you, Representative Fuller. Keith, tell them about number 7. The bill had very specifically speaks to health and safety. This is a red herring. Item number 7 under section A on the second page is right there.
You're going too fast for me. I can't follow that.
Page
dialogue.
2, section 7.
This is the fire marshal and the...
You bet.
If I might clarify something about what this bill does as far as health and safety. The paragraph 8 that you're looking at on page 2 does remove from the Department of Education the ability to generally supervise certain kinds of pre-elementary schools. But paragraph 7 has been changed slightly, but nothing has been removed as to the department's ability to regulate pre-elementary schools as far as health and safety. Whether or not they're being regulated extensively now by the department, I'm not in a position to say. But under paragraph 7, under the present law, and if this bill passes, they clearly have the authority to regulate as to health and safety. And as far as I can tell, all the things that you've been talking about are clearly the kinds of things that the department could regulate with respect to health and safety. And as far as the issue is, as distinguishing...
Excuse me, including square footage? And number, and adult
clearly a health and
ratio
issue. And clearly under
excuse me, could I get this on the record too, though? Square footage and the adult to children ratio. Both of those, in your view, are clearly covered under section 7.
I would think so.
Okay, thank you.
And furthermore, as far as the distinction between pre-elementary schools and nurseries, it's clear from that paragraph 7 that the DOE is going to be regulating the pre-elementary schools as to health and safety. And under Title 47, the Department of Health and Social Services regulates daycare centers. And the distinction, as defined here and in Title 47, is that if the primary function is educational, it's a pre-elementary school, and if it's not, it's a daycare center. And, you know, that's something that I suppose could be clarified, but I think essentially the departments can make that distinction. It's a very clear distinction, primary function is educational or not.
Okay, as I understand it, right now these schools are being regulated by HESS, right?
The
Department of Health and Social Services.
The nurseries, the daycare centers,
right.
The elementary schools are
right.
Regulated by the DOE.
Okay, and now we're giving it to the fire marshal and state sanitarian.
That's not quite correct. I may, it says the DOE shall prescribe by regulation after consultation with those people.
Alright.
So it's still the DOE that's prescribing the regulations.
So, okay.
Oh, yeah, well, throw another chair up there. Getting back to line 23 and 24, not ignoring Mary's proposed amendment, because that had come at the end. We were deleting public and private, and on your last page of your bill, on page 7, that definition is clear, I think. Mm-hmm. Private school means a school that does not receive direct or federal funding. What we've done is deleted that and moved that definition under definitions on page 7. Does that give anybody any heartburn? Okay, I suppose that we could address Mary's proposed amendment to this change.
Are you still on page 2?
We're still on page 2, line 23 and 24.
Oh.
And I was calling everybody's attention to the movement of that definition. They deleted public and private and moved the definition to page 7 to show you clearly.
Could I add to that, that following that, unless you're not going to mention this, that the definition of pre-elementary school as it pertains to this paragraph that raises on line 26 has been moved to page 3, lines 22 and 23,
mm-hmm.
to identify that it applies to the entire section rather than just that paragraph.
Yeah, well, that was my next step.
Okay.
I was trying to keep on track here. And we're addressing the deletion of public and private and having it moved to under the definition section under one, private school. Do we have any problem with that? Okay. Then next, on line, well, we've got to address Mary's proposal of amendment, and that is copy should be before you. Does everybody have one? It was passed out. It says assert after above and program operate for 4 or fewer hours a day. Randy?
Mr. Chairman, with Mr. I want to say Levi, Levy.
Levy.
Okay. And Mary, does that further clarify, or did you know that before?
It further clarifies, and I think that probably could be worked out with DOE.
Okay.
Still think that the 4-hour time limit would be.
But you can work that out.
Right now, people have the choice of which way they're going to go, and they're going educational because there's a lot fewer stipulations on them than health and social services. That's the difference as I see it. And I would like to have the daycare people go health and social services, or our group would like to have them, because they have children for that huge number of hours. That's kind of the difference. And so the 4-hour time would make that real specific, and it still, of course, would affect what he's saying as well.
Ms. Levy, would that could this be taken care of in regulations?
That's exactly what I was saying. I said these. DOE has the power under this bill and under the present law to impose these regulations. It's a question of whether or not they're actually going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly has the power to do that. And as far as, I think that the main concern is that the nurseries, what they're doing is saying that they're a pre-elementary school, and so thereby falling under DOE and getting less stringent regulations. Technically, under the bill, just because if a school's primary function is not educational, then whether or not it calls itself a pre-elementary school, it's not under the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so theoretically, health and social services should be able to go in and regulate under the law.
Okay.
And the bill doesn't really change any of that.
But when did you move this? Okay, what's the feeling of the committee on Mary's proposed change on and program operates for 4 or fewer hours per day?
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Lister.
The only question I have on this is, aren't we covered under regulations anywhere where kindergarten, for example, would be referred to a preschool? Aren't they covered? No? They're two different things.
There's no compulsory kindergarten in this state, so the only compulsory education law is seven years old through 16 years old. First grade through 10th grade, 8th, 10th, 9th.
Anyway, my question is this. Is there anywhere in the regulation under DOE that says...
Regulations are behind you, Mike.
Ramona, did you want to contribute to that?
Well, what I'd like to contribute to is my thoughts on further amending this bill, if that's in order. Mr. Chairman, this bill, in one form or another, has been with us now for 2 years. It's made it all the way to the governor's office and back, and there's been negotiations and negotiations and negotiations to bring it to the agreement form that it is in now. And I think since both bodies of the legislature and the administration have reached an agreement on it, I think if we start trying to monkey with it now, we're going to run into trouble.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't think a little bit of public discussion ever hurt anything.
Oh, no.
Any bill, and in fact, the reason the Rules Committee is dealing with this is because apparently it wasn't handled and has.
Mr. Chairman.
And so I don't think we can suddenly just say, okay, this is the new version and we're not even going to look at it again. I may very well go along with this committee substitute exactly as it's written. But if the implication was that we should go ahead and just adopt it without finishing the discussion that the chairman very properly started, I object strenuously.
Mr. Chairman, I did not in any way state or even allude to stopping discussion on this bill. And I would not wish to stop discussion on it. I simply stated my opinion on further amending in the bill.
I'd like to respond to Representative Miller's concern about maybe it wasn't completed in his. We are looking at the Senate version that was passed to us by the Speaker to examine. We did not receive comment from the Department of Law until after we passed out. At that time, I felt it was only courtesy that since we had asked the Attorney General again to look at the version that was sent to us and that was sent out of Hess to make sure that all parties concerned that had been negotiating and working on this document for these months now had an opportunity to give their input. They made some comments that we felt was worthy of consideration. The only place to do that is here in Rules, and that's what we're doing. We've made the changes that they have recommended, and we feel that the bill now passes scrutiny from all quarters. I appreciate Representative Barnes's comments on not tampering with the bill any further.
The chair will entertain a motion on the amendment. Somebody want to make a motion on it so we can vote on it?
Mr. Chairman, I think the department, fire marshal's office, sanitarian, state sanitarian people can work with all groups involved and go ahead and implement regulations. And then, of course, if there's any group that has a problem with the regulations, they can always appeal it to the legislature. I think it clarifies it in my mind. I just didn't want to exclude any group from due process.
If there's...
Sir, I'll just make that. I'm not going to move the amendment, because I feel fairly comfortable with what Mr. Baby said, too.
Yeah.
In fact, one area kind of bothers me a little bit. If we adopted the amendment, I'm afraid that
to make more than 4 hours?
Well, no, that you'd have, you'd have schools that are both, that would come under both categories, and then I think you're gonna have a fight going on between the two departments as to who's got jurisdiction, and the result there might be that either you get over-regulation or no regulation at all, either one of which would be undesirable. So, having said that, however, I will say that I want to consider this a little bit further, and on the floor of the House may very well bring up the amendment if I decide to, or if other members of our caucus decide to, but for the time being, I would...
Thank you, Representative Miller. Having no motion to move the amendment, why then it's the ruling of the chair that we will just set it aside. Go on, continue on. Getting back on track again, I think that we agreed that lines 23 and 24, which we had made a clear definition of private schools, was moved under definitions, and there was no argument on that. So we go to the next section, 3, which is line... Yes?
Mr. Chairman, we do have proposed amendments here.
From what? From whom?
I believe from the Fairbanks people.
Mr. Chairman, yes. Mr. Kopanen brought those up. I guess he's not here. I think he's in another committee at the moment, as a matter of fact.
Okay, where is that? Does that...
Well, we're in the same here? Yeah, we're in the same section as well.
Okay,
so yeah,
well, thank you
up.
For bringing my... Well, who's supporting it?
Well,
I
just want to hear an explanation myself.
It's
yeah.
The same stuff.
Senator,
thank you, Representative Fuller. In an explanation, the majority of these amendments were made on the floor of the Senate in floor debate. Some of them, particularly number the one that's under Section 2, Part 8, the first one up there that says operates grades 1 through 3, is fraught with legal problems there. The word association is a problem. We had a great deal of debate on the Senate floor on that. We realized afterwards, I supported it on the Senate floor and got a legal opinion afterwards, and the legal ramifications of that amendment are many, and it's a very poorly worded amendment, and I think it's been taken care of. One of the things I believe Representative Tischer asked the Attorney General was, what we want to do is clarify exactly what was a pre-elementary school, and I think the new wording in your bill does that. So I don't think that amendment is functional anymore. Same with number 2. These were all Senate amendments that were made on the floor during the debate, and we fixed them with changing the wording. Because they were done quickly, they were not done in committee, there was no adequate thought given, they were done in the morning. We felt like we fixed them in the House version of the bill and have addressed those concerns. The concerns on the Senate floor that are reflected in these amendments have been addressed in the bill, which is another reason why she went to the AG with it.
Phillips and then
okay.
Miller.
Jan, the only reason I'm bringing this up right now is that the folks from Fairbanks had a teleconference on it, and you know, out of courtesy and also for due process, considering everything that's before us, that's why I brought it up. I do see, however, one of their concerns. We just took care of that. We didn't adopt it 4 hours or more, or fewer. But I'll just leave it there.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Miller.
Yeah, the reason I was anxious for these to be before us is not so much to move them, because quite frankly, I'm not as familiar with this bill as I'd like to be, and I can't give you all the justification for or against these, but I wanted to be brought before this committee at this stage of the game so that, for instance, if these come up on the floor of the House, nobody can say the issue wasn't even raised. And it might very well be that the Representative Kopanen or others representing their constituency in Fairbanks might very well want to raise these points on the floor of the House, and I wanted a paper trail to show that these did not just suddenly arise on the floor of the House, that in fact they received input from their constituencies, and that between now and the time we vote for this on the floor, members can look it over and see, you know, the pluses and the minuses. I don't feel comfortable in moving them right now, but I definitely think that they should be part of the record of this committee meeting, and that's why I was anxious to have...
Thank you. Mr. Miller, I think a couple of them are already taken care of.
Well, it might very well be.
Section 2, Part 8.
Yep.
Same as Bill.
Yeah.
Page 3, and the last one, Article 2, facility, is taken care of in the new definition.
Yeah.
I recognize that.
All right.
If there is any question on that Article 2, I'm going to get the answer, the word subsidies. Does everybody understand what the problem is with that?
My mind.
Excuse me, what are you talking about?
The last item where it says, which receives state payments or subsidies is not eligible. The word subsidies has come up a number of times in our committee hearing process and identified as a dangerous word to insert. And the reason for that is that across the country, there is a, I suppose you can call it a movement, to include nonprofits with a nonprofit status from the IRS as being classified or understood as being subsidized merely because they are not taxed. And if you put that in there, you're going to have every religious church and school which now holds a nonprofit status being aimed at. So the word subsidy was identified as a dangerous word to include. State or federal payments direct very definitely an item that you can identify, and there's no question about it that the subsidies area is what it was. So, for your understanding, you find that not in the definition, in other words, the definition of a private school or a religious school, where you find it only only identified as receiving direct state or federal funding.
In this committee substitute, on line 21, page 3, the definition of pre-elementary schools was just moved to that section, okay? The last one we got is line 18, page 7. You're all...
Can we come back to this one? I'm sorry to belabor this.
Certainly, I wasn't trying to...
Well, we've talked about it before, and I hate to belabor the point. The only thing that really bothers me a little bit is that how are they going maybe Mr. Levy could answer this, how are we going to determine what the word primary function means? That's the only real area of concern I've got. Does it finally get down to just the principal saying our primary function is education, even though they babysit all day, or is there a...
I think that is the distinction that, you have daycare centers where there's just babysitting all day, and you have pre-elementary schools where they're being taught, and the main purpose of the amendment in there is so that the department can't control the curriculum, the educational aspect of it, but essentially in a daycare center there is no curriculum.
Yeah.
Toys, milk and cookies. Yeah. No, seriously.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I think that's the kind of distinction that... this is the way it's been all along.
Yeah.
And
who will make that determination? The Commissioner of Education, for instance?
Well,
or
I suppose it's the kind of thing that the two departments would have to work out. Nothing has been changed yet, and I assume that they've been doing that all along, and that they're able to distinguish who regulates which area on that basis.
Are you through?
Yeah, thank you. I just had the question.
In answer to Mr. Miller's concern as to what is primary, I think if you'll read through the rest of the bill, Mr. Miller, that you'll see what is identified as schooling. There are certain things that a school has to do that a daycare center does not have to do. One is report attendance. Two, they have to be in session for 180 days.
Of course, most nurseries do qualify there very easily. They're in existence 360 days.
Well, they don't take attendance.
No.
They don't take attendance.
But they could.
How about math and science? Those types of things that are identified in here.
The achievement tests don't apply to preschool, do they?
No,
no, they do not.
What, 4, 6?
I don't really know what would apply. Yeah. So,
but there are
they don't
other
teach math
identify
in
this bill that would be primary education.
Well, you know, I have read the bill, and I still have a nagging doubt in my mind who makes that determination, but maybe the two departments get together and two commissioners make a decision. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Moving right along, on line 18 on page 7, we had a definition of private schools for the purpose of exemption of schools from state regulation. We've just moved this section under definitions and reworded it slightly to clarify any school receiving direct state or federal funding is not exempt from regulation. I'd like to call your attention to that. See if there's any disagreement or any input from anybody else on it.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Miller.
I don't disagree with the word direct in here, but it has been pointed out to me that what does direct really mean? And I'd just like to have an explanation of that. I think I know, and I think I'm satisfied with it, but the question has been raised, and I'd like to know what the official. Does that mean that they have to receive a state check, for instance?
School. That's the way I interpret
it. I prefer that the legal counsel identify what the legal terminology direct would be so that there's
okay.
No question.
First of all, under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution and under Article 7, Section 2 of the state constitution, private schools cannot receive direct state funding. And I think that the point of making that distinction is that some private schools do use, for instance, like public school buses. The kids use public school buses. That would be indirect. Direct would be essentially, direct payments or something that might not seem as clearly direct as if, say, the state were paying tuition to the parents and the parents were just turning that tuition money over to the schools. That might be considered direct state funding. But any incidental benefits, such as police protection, fire protection, those would not be considered direct.
Well, for instance, if I'm not mistaken, we have direct credits, not exemptions, but credits for daycare and preschool that were allowed under state laws. If you've got a child in a daycare, you were allowed a direct credit. Now, that goes to the parent, not to the school. But are you saying that might be considered direct? Because if it does,
I should point out that the definition section on page 7 only applies to that chapter AS 1445, and AS 1445 only applies to schools insofar as they relate to compulsory school-age children.
Okay.
So it doesn't even affect the pre-elementary schools or the nurseries at all.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there any further input? Then the chair will entertain a motion to adopt the committee rules committee subcommittee. Representative Fisher?
I move the committee adopt and pass out the House committee substitute Senate Bill 354 rules with individual recommendations.
Hearing no objection, so be it. Rules committee. Is adjourned. Thank you for your attention.
I'm just changing the rules.
Can I sign it so I
yes.
Can